The WNBA began playing games in 1997, and its popularity has remained pretty consistent. What has also been consistent is the relatively low average salary. Unlike in the NBA, where stars are able to earn 20 times as much as their teammates, the top WNBA players were maxed at $117,500 a year, and starting salaries are $50,000. Yesterday, a new collective bargaining agreement was announced that'll nearly double the average salary and potentially keep players from having to play overseas to earn more. With me to talk about the deal is Michelle Vopel, who covers the WNBA for ESPN.com. Michelle, what are the most important developments of this new collective bargaining agreement?
One of the things that stands out the most about it is a commitment from the league in terms of marketing and how that's going to involve the players, because that's been one of the players' concerns really ever since the league started. But something that they've really talked about a lot in earnest is they really want to be involved in making their league more popular. Obviously, they do that well as players out on the court because the game has grown so much, but they want to do more in terms of using their personalities, using maybe even other interests that they have, and connecting with audiences that maybe don't watch women's basketball, but I think could get involved in it, because like anything else in sports, a lot of times you get involved in the personalities and that gets you involved in the sport. So I think the dollar commitment that the league is making, which is $1.6 million for the initial season of the CBA, that's just about marketing, is a really positive thing. The league is very much wanting, if the players want to stay at home, if you will, in the what should be the off season, but for most of them is playing overseas, the league is trying to make a lot of inroads into helping the players be able to stay home.
Now, locally here, the Phoenix Mercury, we have arguably the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Some would say Diana Taurasi, and then Brittany Griner is a star as well. And you alluded to this before as far as the salaries going up, but those are two women who have played overseas to make a lot more money. How much do you think this will impact how many women, especially the stars, decide to play overseas?
Probably it impacts people at different times in their career. With Diana Taurasi, she's not going to be going overseas anymore. For some younger players, and maybe particularly somebody like Brittany Griner, who because of her size is even, you know, a more of a commodity than some players. And, you know, she may decide still, hey, I got this great contract overseas. I'm still going to play overseas. I mean, I still think there's going to be players who are going to opt to do that. But for some players, maybe they'll play a couple years overseas and then decide, you know, I want to do other things in the off season. I want to maybe work in marketing with the league. I want to maybe coach. I want to do a business internship. I mean, those are all things that the league is really trying to facilitate for players. And then I'll play in the WNBA summertime league. So I do think we're going to see that dynamic change some in terms of who goes overseas and who stays. It's not going to be where, like I said, I think, nobody goes overseas. I don't think that's going to be the case, but it's going to at least allow players to make some of these decisions. It gives them a little bit more versatility, if you will.
Obviously, the WNBA is a women's basketball league, and there have been a number of players who have given birth, who've gotten pregnant. Are there any things built into the CBA that may be more progressive and more innovative?
And that's actually a great question, because that was a big concern for this CBA. And this is the most, I say progressive, part of me thinks that this should just be industry standard, honestly.
Right, right.
But what they're doing is they're mandating full salary for somebody with pregnancy leave. Now, in the past, it was you were guaranteed half salary if you were still on the roster, still part of the team, but you were off on pregnancy leave. So, you know, that's a very much a good faith gesture toward women, that they're still going to get their salary for a season. If they're going to miss a season with pregnancy, they've also they're going to allow basically sort of a reimbursement for different reproductive health care issues. You know, I don't want to have a baby right now, but I'd like to have my eggs frozen because I'm going to retire in, you know, however many years. And I'd like to be able to get pregnant then. So that's has a cost, you know, to it. So the league is going to reimburse those costs, fertility treatments, adoption. The league really is trying to say, we understand a lot of our players want to be moms, and we don't want them to have to feel like they have to choose. That's a big part of the CBA, and something that the players, even the ones who are not moms and maybe don't want to be, but they have such solidarity, you know, with their teammates, they really wanted that to be a key part of this collective bargaining agreement, and it's, they're doing it.
Michelle Vopel covers the WNBA for ESPN.com.